I think Bulls would be crushed if they lose to Atlanta in week one. I think that would kill Bulls. Psychologically, I think it would tear them up.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, is here for his award-winning podcast. Don't ask me where these awards come from, but it's award-winning. He is the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. And we talk about Bill Curry Ford, Ira, but everybody's got to get there this weekend through Labor Day. You still have the incredible summer event going on. Zero money down, 0% financing, zero payments for 90 days, two-year maintenance plan.
Can they get it on Monday to holiday? Can they get it?
Yes, absolutely. Bill Curry Ford will be open and ready for you. Shop there now, BillCurryFord.com, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Mobile service. You don't have to bring your vehicle into Bill Curry Ford to be repaired anymore. Some repairs, of course.
But if you do, you get a loaner.
They can do so much at your property, and they've got free loaners. There's no charge for mobile service at your home. They got their vans going all over Tampa. It's an extraordinary service. Learn more about it at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is our great buddy, a great Bucks fan. He'll talk to you about the Bucks. You can find him at Bill Curry Ford. You can find him at the dealership, and he'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. It's just that simple. Family-owned makes a difference. Fourth generation now at Bill Curry Ford. And just mention the sage, you'll get the royal treatment. It's just
how
it is. I'm
going to be very busy this weekend compiling my fantasy list, Steve. I'm out to get you.
The big draft is on Sunday.
I don't care where I finish, as long as I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's always your motto. And I'm back in the league this year, this League of Champions.
The Todd Wright League, that's right.
So it should be fun with that. Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. If you're still prepping for your league, great preparation, Ira.
He's an excellent player. He knows what he's talking about.
And the podcasts make a lot of sense as you're preparing your lineups for fantasy football. Speaking of preparation, you've got to have Florida's Elite Restoration in your plan for life. If you own a property of any kind, even if it's your business, Florida's Elite Restoration, they are who you call when that disaster strikes. Storm damage, flood damage, lightning strike, mold. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. They must be called immediately so you get your free inspection. Who would not want a free inspection? You want to call your insurance company and then have, next thing you know, you got some guy coming out, looking at things, asking you for a recorded statement. And next thing you know, you're not getting a claim and you don't know what even happened.
And you can ask these guys about how the insurance business works because they've been on both sides.
Decades on the insurance side of the business at Florida's Elite Restoration, so they know how to make sure you get the money that's coming to you to restore your property, your biggest asset. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get to their website so you're prepared, but also see their 5-star Google reviews, 5 stars across the board, about 300 reviews, and they cover the entire Tampa Bay area and across the state, you know, to Orlando and beyond in that direction. Florida's Elite Restoration.com, also family owned. Owner Josh Martin, huge Bucks fan, and he's got that discount for you, $500, if you call, mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. If you even need their service after the inspection and you go ahead with them, you'll get that $500 back. Ira, something weird happened. Lee is a little disturbed. He's worried about you. Now, I'm a little worried as well. You were sitting in an eatery somewhere, and next thing you know, a guy looks at you, gives a number, and he paid your bill and walks out the door.
It was a very eventful breakfast, Steve. It was a couple of weeks ago at a place called Toast, T-O-A-S-T. And I was meeting this guy that, you know, we have breakfast once every couple of months. Well, anyway, his wife came this time. So I said, hey, Terry, sit next to me. You don't want to be with your husband. Sit next to me. Well, she did. 2 days later, I get a text. Oh, Terry just turned up positive for COVID. That was a warning sign. 3 days later, I had it. But anyway, towards the end of the breakfast, Lee, some guy, he had a military hat on. And he walked by with his wife, and he pointed to me, and he said, good job with number 47. Number 47. I didn't know if the guy was talking about a 47 caliber bullet that he had in his sidearm or whatever. And then he strolled out to the parking lot. And 20 minutes later, we're asking for the check, and the waitress says, that guy took care of the bill for everybody. What? Who is he? I don't know. But he said number 47. He's got to be a John Lynch fan. And he recognized me somehow from Joe Bucks fan, which, you know, we've all been recognized. It's all happened. And he paid the bill. And the same thing happened to Lee at a different restaurant today. Lee, you think somebody recognized you? Is that possible?
You think you were on some sort of strange hit list, Ira? Yeah, number 47 was really a marker. And what is a military hat? I've never heard of that expression. Military hat, what is that?
Well, it might have said Navy on it or something, you know.
Like a baseball hat with a military?
You know, and next time I go to toast, maybe somebody will say, number 20, I got your bill, number 20. And then the next time, number 99, I got your bill. And then the next guy comes up and says, Tony Dungy, what the hell's he doing in the Hall of Fame?
Was your first reaction, damn, I should have ordered an extra side of bacon?
No, because I was... The more I thought about it, the more I was worried 2 days later about that COVID thing. I mean, who the hell wants to get a text like that? Oh, by the way, my wife just tested positive for COVID. She's sitting right next to me.
Which text is worse, Ira? The one that you get about gonorrhea or the one you get about COVID?
I think COVID's slightly worse.
Like your voice is normally.
I tell people I'm from Nebraska, Lee. It doesn't work.
Hey, Ira, we got an exciting podcast ahead here, which we're touching on a lot of things going on. There's even more going on. Next week's going to be a lot of fun when we have our predictions and our passion for this season.
This is one rollicking podcast, Stevie. I'll tell you that.
It's really going to be a wild next week with those podcasts. We wish everybody a fantastic Labor Day weekend. And of course, just that reminder before we get started here, Bill Curry Ford. You want to get there, don't put it off, BillCurryFord.com. Look, Ira, I know on your mind and on the minds of lots of Bucks fans has been this Micah Parsons trade, because a percentage of Bucks fans really wanted the Bucks to make a deal like this to push them over the top, as they like to say. So for those who haven't paid attention to this huge deal, biggest NFL news everywhere, of course, overblown because it's the Cowboys, Micah Parsons dealt to Green Bay, 2 first-round picks, and Kenny Clark, who is a three-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle in the mix, still a good player, older player, and this didn't happen in Tampa, Ira, so you feel strongly about this. What should Bucks fans be thinking or not thinking?
Buck fans should have a sigh of relief, and I don't think the Bucks were ever players in this thing, nor should they be, given the price. Jason Light's not giving up 2 first-round draft picks. First of all, this guy's not Reggie White. Let's take it easy. He's a very good player. He'd be an upgrade on Yaya Diaby. I'm not saying he wouldn't be. But I'm not giving up 2 first-round picks. I think the Bucks got more than enough talent, as is right now on this roster, to compete, to get into the Super Bowl. What bothers me about this deal, Lee, is Green Bay's upgraded. Buck fans don't care about the 2 picks that Green Bay gave up, future picks. By the way, they're not going to be top 10 picks. Green Bay's not a bad team.
Maybe
they're
not even top 20.
They're not the Tennessee Titans, you know, or the New Orleans Saints. So it makes Green Bay better, and maybe it puts Green Bay, nudges them ahead of Tampa Bay. And could that come into play? Yeah. If Green Bay should upend Detroit atop the NFC North, that's not outlandish. Surely Green Bay's favorite to finish second at this point. Maybe even first. So, Lee, if they win the division and the Bucks win their division, which we think they will, maybe the Packers have a little better seed than the Bucks. Maybe that could affect the postseason. All I know is I wasn't worried about the Cowboys with Micah Parsons threatening the Bucks, because to me, Dallas doesn't have enough good players. Green Bay's better than Dallas, and now they might be better than the Bucks. So I don't think it was great news from a Buck perspective.
I'm just not worried about the Packers. I mean, great move by the Packers. I'm just not worried about it. I don't think they're that great. The 2 teams I think are terribly overhyped are the Packers. I wouldn't say terribly, but they're overhyped. But no question, the Niners. The Niners are a worse team than they were last year. I just do not understand the hype that they're getting at all.
The bloom's off the John Lynch rose a little bit, Lee.
Look at all the draft picks he's botched. My goodness. If everything was even, damn right I want Parsons. There's only 2 or 3 better pass rushers than him, arguably. But Parsons comes to Tampa Bay. It's nothing like paying a guy $40 million to rush the passer 30% of the time. I just drives me nuts. If they had any other defensive coordinator than Todd Bowles that actually valued sacks, hell yeah. But that's a crazy price to play for a guy you're not going to utilize.
But Lee, when they had Shaq Barrett and he was really effective, he rushed the passer.
That's true, but he wasn't $40 million. And I'd love to see the percentage of pass rushes he had. I like Todd Bowles. I think he's a better head coach than he is a defensive coordinator. I believe in sacks. He doesn't believe in sacks.
But Lee gets between 45 and 50 every year.
How many edge rushers get? I'm curious. That's the second most important position on a team. How many edge rush sacks do they get? Less than 10? I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. And he just doesn't believe in it. So him and I have a profound, fundamental difference of opinion. That's just the way it is. Go ahead, Steve.
Parsons, $45 million, big salary, obviously, and a huge, would have been a real chaos.
Would have been a problem because Buck's got a lot of deals to make next year. A lot of deals,
yeah,
including Mayfield.
Exactly, and it's a long, long list from Mike Evans to Levante David to Gedeke, McCollum, on and on. And Jerry Jones, though, I'll throw this to you. Jerry Jones said after the trade that he wasn't talking to any team that wasn't throwing a real quality defensive tackle into the mix for the deal so the Cowboys could stop the run, etc. Well, would you guys have felt differently about this deal if the Bucs didn't give up two first-round picks and a player, and they gave up Vita Vea and his big contract and one first-round pick? You think Bucs fans would have liked that, and that would have been a smart move for the team? I'll throw that hypothetical
well,
to you guys.
I'll say this, Lee. This could be controversial. I don't think so. I'd give up Vea before I'd give up Kancey.
Yes.
I'd give up Vea before, you know, I'm looking at the calendar. The calendar says, you know, Vea may not be able to keep going for more than 2 or 3 years.
He's 30 years old.
Kancey hasn't reached his prime yet. A first-round pick in Vea, well, it wouldn't be a terrible deal for the Bucs, although they're not overflowing with depth at defensive tackle. Not overflowing.
No.
Maybe Gaines. You stick Gaines
good run
in there.
Stopper.
Yeah, good run stopper. I'm just glad the Bucs didn't make the deal, Lee.
You and I are glad, but for different reasons.
Yeah. And Lee, I do disagree with you about that Bowles thing. You and I will have an eternal
debate
on this. Yeah,
when he develops a guy, someone pointed out to me, he's never developed a guy. Never. He does good with veterans. There's no doubt about that. But developing guys,
well,
he's pathetic.
In a sense, he developed Shaq Barrett. In a sense.
I can't go there for this reason. The only reason he wasn't on the field more with Denver, he was behind two Hall of Fame players. So I get that. And even Todd Bowles said, I'll never forget this. When he was defensive coordinator, and he stood at the podium 2019, and he said, if we thought Shaq Barrett was going to be this good, he would have gotten a hell of a lot more money, and he probably wouldn't be here.
But the 19 and a half sacks is extraordinary.
Extraordinary. I absolutely agree with you. But, again, it reinforces my point. He's good with veterans. You know, and Ndamukong Suh said he was allowed to freelance. I guarantee if Casey Rogers allowed it, that boy, he got the green light from Bowles. Otherwise, that would have never happened. And so hearing Ndamukong Suh say he had freedom, I imagine JPP also had freedom. I imagine Shaq Barrett had some freedom. And that's why after hearing that interview with Sue and Kay Adams, I'm a little bullish on Hassan Reddick because I think, you know, Bowles like, hey, you're a veteran. You know what to do.
But he got a good rookie year out of Diaby. He did.
I don't know if it's good. Okay. San Francisco, I was there. He's on the bench. Diaby is. He gets two sacks. He came off the bench and damn near saved that game for the Bucs. It wasn't really close, but the Bucs were still had a puncher's chance. Without Diaby, they had no chance. I asked Bowles after the game, why wasn't he on the field? And I think he was off the field like half the game. He got a sack, they pulled him off. He got another sack, they pulled him off. So why wasn't he on the field? Oh, he's got to do other things. Good God, man.
Did you fall off your chair, Lee?
I just.
So Lee was referring to the former Buccaneers defensive line coach, Casey Rogers, who's now gone. He was a longtime right-hand man of Todd Bowles. He was his defensive coordinator when Bowles was head coach of the Jets. Rogers left this offseason for the Lions, and he had a heavy hand in the rotation, making the decisions on those players coming in on the line, across the line. And so, you know, it's interesting how that'll factor in with him being gone. So, Ira, Jason Light was on the station here, WDAE, this week, and he talked about sort of, hey, you know, we're so good in the draft the last few years, and my staff is so incredible that giving up a couple of premium picks, it's almost unthinkable because Light said, I would hate the thought of not having Kancey on this team and not having a Mecca on this team. And, you know, he put it in the perspective of what are you losing, not what are you gaining. And these big deals are very difficult for him because of that. You think ownership would have blessed the Glazers? Do you think they would have blessed a Parsons trade if Light said, let's just go for this thing? I think it's going to work. I like the intel we have on Parsons and where he's at.
They probably would have yielded to Light's judgment. And he's earned that, right, Lee? He's earned it with his acumen in the draft. But from Light's perspective, I see what Steve's saying. Light says, I'm going to give up my next two number one picks. I'm going to do that. We can make hay, even if we pick 23rd. I know what I'm doing. And we're going to get two good players out of those picks. And giving up a defensive tackle, or like Steve says, a number one and a defensive tackle.
Jason, it's either Jason Fitzpatrick or Jason Fitzgerald. He owns and runs overthecap.com, a website I'm sure you have bookmarked. And he did some research. The Bucs, under Light, 82% of their roster is players they drafted. The most of any team in the NFL.
Startling number.
There's four teams in the 70s.
That's right.
But there's only one team in the 80s, and that's the Bucs.
Ira, just for the Yaya Diaby fans out there, and also for the fans like us that slap around Chris Braswell, I'll do a double take at the same time. Lee suggested Diaby didn't have a good year as a rookie. 7.5 sacks. I think he had a great rookie year as a third-round pick. But if he didn't have a good year or barely had a good year, what did Braswell have last year with one and a half sacks? So the fall-off of Diaby, though, from year one to year two was...
Fall-off from one perspective. He still played the run very well.
He's a good player. Good football player. He looks like a quality number two edge rusher.
Leonard Floyd, maybe.
If you've got a big gun on the other side, that they need a lot from him. They needed more from him last year than he could actually handle. Sage, Bill Curry Ford, this weekend, final weekend of their huge summer sales event, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Zero money down, 0% financing, zero payments for 90 days, and a two-year maintenance plan. That's on new Ford vehicles, various ones. Go to BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name since 1960. You'll even get the Joe Bucks fan Ira Kaufman discount if you ask for it to General Manager Sean Sullivan, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, we are just getting started from news on Chris Godwin and Tristan Wirfs. We will be talking about Kyle Trask.
Again with the Kyle Trask, Steve. Aren't you ever finished with this guy?
There's some.
The Bucs are finished with him.
There's some new details, new happenings with Trask that people want to know about, Ira.
May I start this segment with a simple declaration? I'm looking forward in about 4 days to seeing my pretty mug on the big screen, Steve. I might be on the big screen in downtown Tampa with all these dignitaries watching the Sage on the big screen talking about 50 years of Buck football. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's not open to the public. Tuesday night, Tampa Theater, downtown. Bucks are having a gala. Red carpet kind of event where this huge 5-6 hour documentary that they've produced, which hasn't been released yet, they're going to show like an hour of it and have a panel discussion with Tom Brady and Mike Evans and
Doug Williams.
A long list. I think it was 8 or 9 Bucks there.
Shiloh Sanders going to be in the panel, Steve?
No Shiloh. He'd be all popular. Right. Maybe more popular than Paul Gruber, who's not too talkative.
Anyway, I sat down for 5 hours, Steve. That's all I know. 5 hours. And you were there for part of it. You saw it.
I think you'll get 5 minutes in the movie total.
That's not bad. 5 minutes in the movie, Lee.
Let's hope you look good. Ira, makeup. All right. So, that's Tuesday night.
It's a grand theater. It's a grand old theater.
Should be an interesting night. I'm sure the Glazers will probably be there to see what it looks like and all that. So, but the next day is perhaps more important, and that's Wednesday. That's when the first official injury report comes out. Now, until now, it's been just a whole bunch of nonsense.
Gobbledygook.
Hockey talk with the way they reference injuries. And,
he's sore.
And, lower body injury.
Yeah, lower. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
You know, he's sore.
Yeah, sore. Yeah, he's sore. He's working back. We don't know any truths, but some truths have come out. But what we do know is Cade Otton, Ira, he had a hamstring injury. He lost a bunch of time in camp, and then he came back for the Pittsburgh Steelers preseason game, dropped the ball, didn't look too good. And now Todd Bowles said this week he's got a mysterious lower leg injury, sore.
Now, you don't designate the guy's injury until, like, Friday. Then you put doubtful, questionable.
That comes out Wednesday, the first injury report where the team has to state the injury and the guy's current status.
And that could change.
And that can change, right. He can go from doubtful to questionable. They don't have probable anymore. They eliminated that.
But they're not going to put out, are they? On Wednesday, out?
Well, if he can't play, he can't play. You know?
Let's hope not. But he's injured, and
I'm concerned, Lee. The hamstring's bad enough. You know, that looked like it was affecting him a little bit.
Well, he missed a couple weeks of practice.
Now, look, out of the list of the eight most important Buccaneers, maybe Otten doesn't make the list, but he's still a good player, very motivated in a contract year. Really stepped up last year when Evans and Godwin went down. Might have saved the Bucs bacon.
Well, they lost all those games.
They lost all, but he played very strongly.
Yes, he did.
And I think there's a drop-off, Lee. Now, you don't think there's much of a drop-off, maybe, but I think there is a drop-off. Now, the one thing Otten's got to work on, he dropped a lot of balls last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did drop a lot of balls.
Mm-hmm.
He also made some great catches in traffic, you know, when he got hit. He held on to the ball. So it was uneven, but I'm a little worried about Otten because he's a pretty good blocker.
Is he?
He's certainly a better blocker than Devin Culp.
There's no
question about
but
that.
But I don't know if I call him good. Maybe he is.
Look, the Bucs have a lengthy injury list, Lee.
Yeah.
It's lengthy.
In August.
Are they season-ending injuries? They don't appear to be. Although McMillan's is a serious one, half the season. I expect Godwin and Wirfs back by October, if not earlier for Wirfs.
Ooh.
If not earlier. But it's a long list, Lee, and we'll see if Otten is designated on Wednesday, and we'll see if he practices on Wednesday.
You know, we don't have any evidence of what I'm about to say, but it doesn't look good, and this is why I say this. Otten has taken a lot of punishment in a short span of time. His rookie year, he split time with Cam Brate. He was still on the field for 70% of the snaps as a rookie. His second year, 92%. His third year, 97%. This is his fourth year. That's a hell. Now, I know he missed three games toward the end of the season last year, but of the games that he was on eligible,
he doesn't come off the field.
He doesn't come off the field. And I just think, you know, everybody's body is different. Not everybody can play 20 years. Not everybody can play 5 years. Everybody has a different level of snaps that their body will put up with. I'm starting to wonder if all those snaps are catching up with him.
We don't know that, Lee. We
don't know
it.
That.
But it's an interesting proposition.
You know, that's why I say I wonder.
2023 was when they drafted Payne Durham, the big guy out of Purdue, and he's the guy behind Otten.
John Gruden says he's fascinated by Payne Durham.
He is fascinating because he has made a couple of really big catches in his career and not much else. So, and they don't seem to throw to him too much, obviously, and
he was supposed to be a big red zone target.
He's a better blocker. Well, they always talk about him. He's 6'7".
But they rarely
what a red zone target. They don't use him. But when you're scoring 29.5 points a game, no one's going to come back and say, where the hell's Payne Durham? So, but he's a better blocker than Otten.
Yes.
And what I think we already know is that with Charlie Heck filling in for Tristan Wirfs on opening day, only 8 days away, that they're going to be helping Heck with a tight end more than usual on that side for sure, because Wirfs doesn't need any help. And I think I'd rather have Payne Durham being the blocker in line helping out than Kate Otten. So maybe it becomes a better thing overall.
But Durham is not as proven a target
He's not.
As Otten.
No.
And you're missing Godwin and McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
passing game seems a little cramped at this point. Unless Lee's guy Egbuka has one of those great rookie seasons, which he might, Lee. He might. He's going to have to contribute right from the start. Don't lose this game, Bucks. Don't lose this game to Atlanta. Don't do it.
Dan Graziano, ESPN, said don't be shocked if Ibuka has minimum 900 yards receiving.
That's a heck of a rookie season. It's a heck of a rookie
season. And we've seen that before. Look, Mike Williams, the late Mike Williams, unfortunately, we saw him come in 2010 as a fourth-round pick. And they immediately made him the number one receiver, and he did great.
Michael Clayton, big rookie year. Then, of course, your man Dominic over there, Lee, after Clayton fizzled out, gives him another contract.
Oh, yeah, because he can block.
Yeah, he's a hell of a blocker.
Mike Evans, big rookie year.
It's not unusual anymore for rookies to get 1,000 yards.
Yeah, and I was thinking more about Mike Evans' rookie year. You know, he had Vincent Jackson on the other side, very much comparable to how Ibuka has Mike Evans.
Yes.
On the other side.
Now, wait a minute. Don't put Egbuka and Mike Evans in the same sentence now, Steve. I mean,
you're talking about
a Hall of Famer.
Did anybody think he was a Hall of Famer as a rookie?
Who's that?
Oh, Evans.
Well, you know he was damn good as a rookie.
Obviously, but to Steve's point.
Yeah.
Vincent Jackson was an established top-shelf receiver.
Yeah, get off
Mike
my back,
Evans,
Ira.
Mike Evans is an established.
I got to keep you in line, Steve.
Mike Evans is an established top-shelf receiver. Evans was an unknown rookie. I mean, known his name was known. They didn't know what kind of player he was going to be. Ibuka, we think we know where he's going to be, but we don't know yet, and he's a rookie.
It's still his first pro game, Steve. There's going to be jitters.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if he'll have jitters or not, but it's a big ask to have a big night. Do have plenty of other weapons, and they got to be able to run the ball. I mean, they've got to be able to run the ball. I got a little spooked in Pittsburgh when Bucky Irving all of a sudden has got 8 carries for 12 yards, which is what the number was. That was scary as hell because that we didn't see that all last year. Scary.
Looked like Rashad White.
Bucky Irving's the last guy I'm worried about, Lee. Let me throw Lee off his chair over here. You got to shake up the Kemper once in a while to keep this podcast rolling. Lee, given the circumstances where I say that Heck probably is a better run blocker than he is a pass protector, that's my opinion. Lee, would you run the ball 30, 35 times in Atlanta if the game's close? Would you do it?
Certainly not off left tackle.
Would you give Irving 20 carries? Would you give it to him?
Well, you know, the game has to play out. If the holes are there, of course. If they're not, don't force it.
I want to see him play some damn defense, Ira. How about that? A little defense. But to get
especially
back,
against that team.
But to get back to the injuries, because there's been some misdirection out there on social media of what's really going on. And it's not fans' fault for not necessarily having a good handle on some of these injuries. Both Godwin and Wirfs are not on the PUP list. So they can actually practice with the team if they were ready. They're not doing that yet. And they can play anywhere in the first 4 weeks. Now, Tristan Wirfs told you in the locker room, Ira, week 4. That's what he's targeting.
That was his first answer.
That's where his brain is.
Then when I reminded him that week 3 was also on natural grass at home, he goes, oh, maybe week 3. But he started saying week 4.
That's his mentality. That seemed like fair to say that's his target. But here on WDAE, both Jason Light and Todd Bowles were on the air this week, and they were asked about Chris Godwin and his return. Now, Light said, well, maybe October, and I said October a long time ago in training camp, maybe October, and maybe Wirfs a little earlier. But then Todd Bowles was asked, when is Chris Godwin coming back? And he said, best case, earliest case, week 2 to week 5 is the exact quote from Todd Bowles. So the Bucs don't even have a clear message on this.
I don't think they know when he's coming back, Lee.
As in Wirfs?
Godwin.
Well, here's what I was told about Godwin, and I hope this is a clear analogy. It may not be. He's got specific goals he has to meet in his rehab.
Didn't you compare him to Cosmo climbing a step?
No, he can't meet goal B until he meets goal A. Like, oh, you got to do this is your heat rehab. You got to do X, Y, and Z. And if you do that well, then you've meeting goal A. So you then take the next step. Same thing. You got to work on X, Y, and Z. And if you meet those goals, then you take a next step to C. It's sort of like a dog learning how to climb stairs. And that's the best analogy I can come up with. And the reason why the Bucks really have no idea, because they haven't seen him climb any steps yet.
It's like Steve doing a story, Lee. He's got to pass step one, which is spell check for his bits.
Hassan Reddick. Big free agent signing. Everybody's banking on Hassan Reddick, from fans to Todd Bowles to the organization that really went out of their way to improve the edge rush position this year. Already forgotten is that they drafted an edge rusher that they thought they got a steal. David Walker, fourth round, he's going to come in and help save the day. And here's Reddick. It's time for him to show up and prove that he's worth what they're paying him, $14 million. There were a lot of edge rushers on the market this year. Joey Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Fowler coming off a 10-sack year. A lot of one-year deals out there, and Reddick is one of them. So a lot of guys that we'll be able to compare him to as the season goes on. But he's getting a gift next week. The Falcons lost their right tackle. Good player. They lost their backup right tackle. Don't know a darn thing about him. They've got a guy that appears is going to play, Elijah Wilkinson. He had one snap on defense last year. I looked it up. He was with the Falcons, so he knows the offense. Veteran guy. He's got some experience. Reddick's got to have a huge day, Ira. Just like the Falcons are looking at Charlie Heck saying, well, we got to, you know, take advantage of this guy. What do you guys think?
I'm glad you brought up Reddick. He's a critical figure, Lee, in this respect. If he has a mediocre season, Lee, why should we think the Buck pass rush would be better than last year if Reddick doesn't contribute significantly? He's going up against Michael Penix's blindside, Lee. Blindside rush for a left-handed quarterback. That won't be the case for most of the year, but it will be in week 1 when he's going up against Penix. Not only a backup right tackle, but the backup to the backup. Steve's right. Now, Lee, you're smiling because I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, I don't want to look at the first 8 snaps and see Reddick in coverage. I don't want to see that. You're not going to see that.
No, I disagree.
You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it.
I'm willing to lay money. He
is a key figure, certainly in week one against Penix. He's got to make his presence felt to Penix. Penix is an inexperienced quarterback. He could get jittery if he's pressured. And if Hassan Reddick starts getting his job done, that frees things up for Diaby and Kancey and Vea to cause mayhem. A lot of eyes on Reddick. I know my eyes are going to be on Reddick.
Your opening statement on this subject was very faulty. You said if Reddick doesn't have a great year, how can we expect the Bucs pass rush to be better? You do remember who he's replacing, right? Joe Tryon Shoyinka? What do you have, 2 sacks last year?
But I said if Reddick has a mediocre season.
If he has a mediocre season, that's doubling what JTS had. So I think he'll have a good year, Reddick. But I'm not pinning the entire defense on him.
He's certainly motivated, Lee. He's certainly motivated.
Money motivates people. Yeah. But, Joe Tryon Shoyinka was a warm body, let's be honest. And so if Reddick does anything, that's going to be an improvement.
I'm surprised you're not faulting Bowles for not developing Joe Tryon Shoyinka.
Doesn't it go without saying?
I'm surprised he called him warm. Well, something to watch. And he has such an opportunity here to make a statement, considering his brutal season last year. And everybody's saying what great shape he's in and how great he's been. He's got to go out and go wild out there. This is a seasoned veteran who knows what to do.
And in 2 games against the Falcons, against a guy who can't move in Cousins, not that Penix is a big mover. He's not. But I think he's a little bit more mobile than Cousins.
Which is not saying much. Yeah.
And, Steve, I can't remember the exact number of completions that Cousins had against the Bucs last year in 2 games. It might be like 70. Might be 70 completions. I'm serious.
I
know 1 game went into overtime. All right, I understand that. But 70 completions, Lee, and most of them were pitch and catch. We can't see that at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I will not stand for it, Lee.
I hope you're actually sincere in that, because I'm going to hit you with a stat that if that is the case, you need to be on a soapbox. There's only one time since Todd Bowles came here in 2019, that the Bucs were not in the 20s in pass defense. Were not. And that just happened to be Bowles' first season as a coach when they were 8-9 with Tom Brady.
So that includes the Super Bowl season.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many good defensive coordinators do that? Not many.
But Lee, you got to be careful with those passing stats, because you're basing it on yardage.
Yep.
And last year they faced the second most passes in the league.
Well, it's not just last year.
They're linked to a little bit.
Yeah, it's not just last year. I mean, well, it's consistently.
But you're not saying the 2020 defense was lousy.
Here's what I'm saying. How long has Bowles been here? 6 seasons?
Yeah.
How many quote-unquote good defensive coordinators have 5 of 6 seasons where they're in the 20s in pass defense?
And you're talking about rankings, league rankings, is what you're talking
about. Yeah, league-wide,
I'm not going to excuse last year, Lee. You're right about last year. You're right. Terrible.
I'll say it again. I think Bowles is a better head coach than he is defensive coordinator.
You didn't say that when he was running Mahomes all over the stadium that day.
That will go down. Honest to God, I think that is one of the most underrated defensive performances we have seen. The longer we get away from that Super Bowl win, the greater that looks. It was fantastic.
Now I've been talking of Bowles here. I don't want to take anything away from Bowles for that game, but that was Shaq Barrett, Devin White.
You can't do that.
Ndamukong Suh. They destroyed the Chiefs' offensive line. They destroyed them.
Of course they did. Shaq Barrett had a monumental game.
So was that scheme, Steve? I don't know.
You can't not give the defensive coordinator credit
for
keeping the Chiefs out of the end zone. You can't do that. Of course, there's players involved, but, you know.
Well, the Eagles did it to him last year,
Let's just say this. Bowles still has a lot to prove to a lot of people, not the Glazers, who have gifted him a job through 2028, or at least money, but a lot to prove to a lot of fans. Now, he showed up. They went from 13 wins to 8, and then he's built them up since then. So, arrow pointing up.
Bowles, I think Bowles would be crushed if they lose to Atlanta in week one. I think that would kill Bowles.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
Really?
Psychologically, I think it would tear him up.
What?
I think it would tear him up.
Psychologically?
Tear him up.
This guy is known for being Mr. Even Keel.
Yeah.
Nothing rattles
Never
him.
Never getting flustered.
Okay, we're 4-7 every year. We're going to pull out of it. And you think a week one loss is going to mentally break Todd Bowles?
He wants to kill this team. He was embarrassed by what the Bucs put out there against the Falcons last year. And he should be. Now you're starting anew. You got Reddick. You got Parrish. You got some new starters. Tyke Smith's changing positions.
And a bunch of injuries.
And you don't want to see the same defensive performance in Atlanta. I won't stand for it.
Well, I hope these guys are aggressive. I want to see the Bucks defense look like, no matter what the result, you got to leave that game saying, man, this team is way more aggressive, way more physical.
They challenged the passes. They challenged them.
Way more intense than we saw last year. And, okay, they beat us a few times. I don't mind getting beat deep once in a while. Todd Bowles has this obsession, like, let's let up 700 yards in front of us as long as we don't get one thrown over our head.
That might work if you're a good tackling team, Lee, but they weren't.
No, they were not.
They weren't.
Ira, Todd Bowles, I'll ask you guys, and you might not have heard it here or remembered on WDAE this week, but, Sage, Todd Bowles named his most consistent training camp performer. Most consistent. That's the honor that he gave this one person.
I think I know who it was.
Who do you think that was?
I think he said Logan Hall.
He did. Logan Hall.
If you gave me 10 guesses, I'm not sure I would have picked Logan Hall. Now, he made some strides last year.
5 sacks.
He made some strides.
He had a solid year.
But I used to call him a guy without a position.
He's sort of the tweener,
a guy without a position. But you're not going to like this word, but maybe he's developing Logan Hall. Maybe he's developing.
Well, he's not an edge rusher either. Yeah, he's not an edge rusher.
I don't care. Maybe he's developing.
What they did with, again, I didn't say Bowles can't develop players. I say he can't develop edge rushers. Logan Hall's not an edge rusher, so it's immaterial. Logan Hall was drafted basically to be the next Will Golston. And I think he's pretty close to that right now. Maybe, I don't know, better. That's a little strong. But he's solid. He's solid. And I think he'll re-sign with the Bucks.
What's he listed as on the depth chart? He's not listed as a D tackle, is he?
He's listed as a defensive end, but he's, you know, an interior defensive end.
Okay.
Fans would consider him a defensive tackle. Right. Also, on his long list of sort of labels that he put on players, he said Cody Mauch had the steadiest camp. Now, I'm not sure how that changes is different from most consistent, but he was steadiest. Now, the crazy thing is, Bowles has said this twice, his best performer overall, his favorite guy this summer, is the new punter, Riley Dixon. He said it again, and it's like you look at Ebuka, you look at Jacob Parrish, and Bowles is aroused by his punter.
I don't know if I can comment on that, Lee. It's too stunning.
There's no words.
It's too stunning. he sure talks about special teams a lot, Lee. Talks about it all the time. How many tackles the guy made on special teams. Braswell's making some plays on special teams.
Oh, boy.
Is he still going to shock the world, Steve? Is Light coming off that is he coming off that prediction?
He made that comment on your podcast, Ira, which is available on the iHeartRadio app.
How's he going to shock the world if he plays 30% of the snaps?
I'll say this about Braswell. He's the number four edge rusher on this team right now. Most teams don't have a second-round pick as their number four edge rusher. He might be the best number four edge rusher in the league.
If they had David Walker, he'd be the number five edge rusher.
Probably.
And so it's possible from that perspective that Braswell might shock the world by being a 6-sack, 5-sack, number four edge rusher. We're being a little tongue-in-cheek here, Ira, but that is his role on the team, so I'm not going too crazy.
I kept an eye on him during preseason, Lee, because he played a lot.
Did you need eye drops?
He looks a little bit better, but I think he's got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Light, he mentioned that he thought Baker Mayfield was taking everything to another dimension. We could talk about
new
that
dimension
a little more. Light said his training camp performance was incredible. A lot of pressure on Mayfield if you're talking about this guy reaching a new height after throwing 40-plus touchdowns and 4,500 yards. We can get into that, Sage. Kyle Trask. Now, we haven't talked too much about the final
roster.
You've
been teasing Kyle Trask for 45 minutes over here, Steve.
Well, there's a lot to be said and a lot to be explored, especially as he's...
What is this guy, Aaron Rodgers? It's Kyle Trask.
No, but he's unemployed. Ira, we're going to be talking a lot about Kyle Trask here, one of the most polarizing guys in Bucks fandom. Everybody loves the backup quarterback, but everybody has different opinions of a backup quarterback when he's a local guy. And when he's never had a chance to play, it creates this whole dynamic, which is really what we experienced here with Kyle Trask for 4 years. But now he's gone. Trey Palmer, the guy who also didn't make the final roster, he was waived. Jason Light said on WDAE this week that he hoped to have gotten him back for the practice squad and was a little sad that he couldn't. But now he's on the Saints. Lee, Ira, you got a final thought on the Trey Palmer era being over after him being a 2023 sixth round pick who caught 39 balls as a rookie and made a big play in the playoffs.
Good luck catching bombs from Spencer Rattler. I'm not losing any sleep about Trey Palmer. He needed a big training camp.
And
he got hurt and he didn't have it. I don't think he was going to return punts as soon as Tez Johnson was drafted. He lost that job. And he should. He did a bad job last year with punts. His judgment was lousy. He only averaged 8.5 yards a return. I think his long was 17. Can I get a punt return more than 17 yards, Lee? I think you're going to see that this year on multiple occasions.
Wow.
From this rookie. So I'm not losing sleep over Trey Palmer.
Trey Palmer is an enigma. And the reason why I say that is last year I talked to Liam Cohn after a training camp practice when we were talking about Trey Palmer. And if people remember Palmer's touchdown against the Eagles in the playoffs 2 years ago, where he caught a very short pass, he got Bradberry to miss, and it was off to the races.
That's why they drafted him. Plays like that.
Well, I thought they drafted him for bombs away. At any rate, Liam Cohn brought up the touchdown against the Eagles, where he caught a pass, very short pass, might have been a one-yard pass, got Bradberry to miss, and was off to the races. And Liam Cohn said that's exactly what they want to do with Palmer. That never happened, not once. Not once last year.
You mean those slants, quick slants?
Just a short pass and get him to miss somebody and boom, off the races. Yeah. Use those jets. Something happened there. What? I don't know.
I wouldn't call him a bust, Steve, but he didn't do enough. I wouldn't call him a bust.
That is a sixth-round pick. Yeah. You can't label him a bust. But a couple of things. I think what happened last year is that they didn't realize when Lee talked to Cohn in training camp, they didn't realize that Bucky Irving is an incredible guy to get those kinds of balls to and let him go. And he had a lot of big catch and runs, and Rashad White still caught balls. So I think Palmer just sort of faded from there, just as a speculation thing. But the reality is the Bucs kept seven receivers on the roster, including injured Jalen McMillan and Chris Godwin, and Palmer still couldn't be top seven. So, I mean, that's not good. I think the Bucs kind of...
Well, Miller had a much better camp, right?
Yes.
Miller had a much better camp.
He had a better camp, but Todd Bowles did say Miller made the team because he can cover kicks.
Yep.
And that's how it works, you know, in the NFL. When you're not a top guy, you got to play special teams. Palmer, nice guy. Wish him well. And Jason Light said he wished he had him back for the practice squad. We'll see if he sticks with the Saints. I wouldn't be shocked if somehow he ends up back here.
You know, he's behind a couple of these. They got a couple of decent receivers, New Orleans. Olave's good. If he had somebody to better to throw him the ball.
Yeah.
The Saints suck.
And he's been hurt.
Everybody hates the Saints.
They do suck.
Real quick about this practice squad, and I see this so much. To me, it's the equivalent of best regards. The team announces they cut somebody, but they'd like to have him back on the practice squad. That's basically the equivalent of writing a letter, best regards.
Knowing anybody can pluck him. Knowing anybody can pluck the guy.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because Jason Light, we all know, the Bucs cut Kyle Trask. They cut him.
Did they say they wanted him back on the practice squad?
They didn't say they wanted him back on the practice squad. Jason Light was on WDAE here, and he talked to T-Kraz in the afternoon and said, I explained with others when we released Kyle, we talked to him, and why we wanted Connor Bazelak, the fourth-string noodle-arm quarterback, on the practice squad.
Inaccurate.
Now, he didn't say, I didn't tell Trask why I didn't want him on the practice squad, but the implication, and he basically said, I told him why we wanted this guy and not you. How far did this guy fall? I don't think Bucs fans realize that if you believe the organization, and we generally only believe them to a degree, right?
That's
just how it is. They're not always being honest, and
just
that's
like
fine.
Just like any other franchise.
Most of them. I don't know.
They fib to their own advantage. You know.
Jerry Jones is rather transparent.
We're to believe that Kyle Trask was inches, this close, my fingers are close together, to beating out Baker Mayfield in 2023 for the starting job. And Mayfield went on to be a Pro Bowl star. And he's a big-armed, number one overall pick quarterback.
Mobile.
He was this close. And now he has no job in the NFL.
Lee, we mentioned it on the podcast, but we didn't emphasize it enough, Lee. How bad a camp Trask had. How bad a camp he had. Also, his Game 2 performance in Pittsburgh stunk. He stunk. And Bridgewater didn't. But I think as soon as Bridgewater threw those two passes, Lee, the job was Bridgewater's. They were ready to move on from Trask. Give me a reason to move on from Trask, and they got one.
Some say the minute he was signed,
that's possible, too. That's possible, too. And as far as this close thing with Mayfield in 23 training camp, I poo-pooed that from the start, Lee.
Yeah.
You remember me.
Well, like I really...
And the Bucs were so pissed off at me. How can you say this isn't a real competition? It's not.
It wasn't.
It's not.
Yeah. I've maintained two things for years. Number one, if Trask was all that, Bowles wouldn't have begged Light to sign Mayfield. And as we know now, he begged Bowles to sign him. Or Bowles begged Light to sign him. So if Trask was all that, that wouldn't have happened, number one. Number two, this supposed competition. Do we really believe I mean, you got to be so freaking naive to really believe that Bowles is on the hot seat. He's coming off a losing season with Tom Brady, a losing season. His team got slapped around by the Cowboys. Fans were going nuts. Fans were on fire. They wanted blood. Bowles knew he was on the hot seat. He was really, and he already said, the Bucs are it. After I leave the Bucs, no matter what, I'm done with, my career's over. Do people really believe he was going to put his career in the hands of a guy that only threw 9 passes?
Well said, Lee. Well said.
No way.
That's one of DeKemper's best speeches. I salute him.
But the fact that he's not the backup, after the Buccaneers spent money, guaranteed cash, to re-sign him in March.
He's fallen out of favor, Steve. He's out of favor.
How far this guy has fallen is
incredible. The conversations between Bowles and Grizzard, we're clear.
That's what I'm thinking, Grizzard.
We can't go on with this guy.
That's why I think Grizzard. I mean, I don't know this. I'm just guessing because Bowles, you know, he's been around a while. Grizzard is new in the sense he's new coordinator. He has authority. And I'm thinking Grizzard, after the first week of training camp, went up to Bowles or went up with Light. We got to have somebody else.
I don't think that Mayfield was a prime consultant.
Do you blame
this.
Do you blame the organization for not developing Trask?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Why not?
They didn't have much chance. Nobody got hurt. Brady didn't get hurt. Mayfield didn't get hurt.
That's fair. He was not in a good position. He was behind Tom Brady. He was behind Mayfield.
Now, maybe they could have lifted Mayfield when they're up 20 points to give Trask some passes. Bowles isn't inclined to do that.
Didn't the Packers do a good job with Jordan Love all those years, developing him behind the scenes?
They finally got rid of a quarterback. They got rid of Rodgers.
You can't blame Bowles that Trask didn't get an opportunity. You can't blame him. It's just the way it happened.
I don't think that's a fair comparison. Rodgers and Love, Brady / Mayfield and Trask. Once they got Mayfield here, and as you said, he proved to be an all-pro, they weren't going to get rid of him.
And Lee, you know how much in the weeds they go over the practice tape. Over and over and over again, the practice tape.
I'm talking about you can develop a backup quarterback. I'm not talking about a starter. You can develop a backup quarterback behind the scenes. They didn't do it.
They didn't think he was getting better, Lee. They didn't think he was getting better.
I'm fortunate that I get to watch almost all the practices. When I say that, what I mean by that is training camp, I watch them all. He was inconsistent. He was always inconsistent. He'd have a couple good practices, then he'd take a couple steps back. Then he'd have a couple good practices. He never had 3 practices in a row where he'd say, damn, that's pretty good. He's building on something here. Never. He would always take a step back. And I'll never forget that one practice. Mind you, he was a third string quarterback. Brady went on a sabbatical, Caribbean, Bahamas, you pick, I don't care, a tropical island. And Trask got promoted to second team by default. He absolutely melted down. It was a practice in the Glazer shed. It might have been the worst practice I've seen by an NFL quarterback.
I don't think it's a big blemish on Jason Light's resume, Steve. I don't look at it like that. All right, he missed on a second rounder. He took a shot at a quarterback.
Well, there were a bunch of quarterbacks taken after Trask in that draft. Davis Mills, others, guys who just didn't pan out.
Correct.
There's a long list
of
them.
I'm not going to kill Light,
and
Lee, over that.
It wasn't a great draft, but you could say, look, Jason Light had an opportunity to bolster his receiving core, do what he did this year for Tom Brady and a high-powered passing attack, and he didn't do it.
Or corner.
And he knew that Antonio Brown was volatile. He knew that, you know, that he didn't have that kind of depth. They were relying on guys that nobody even knew late that season. You got guys like Cyril Grayson making 3 starts, Tyler Johnson. You could have had Nico Collins of the Texans.
Good player.
Was available in that draft. So you can always hindsight on a draft. We liked the Trask pick at the time.
But, Steve, they knew Brady was near the end. Brady's near the end. We gotta have somebody behind him that we will try to develop. So I can't knock it.
That's another reason why Trask isn't here. He was Arians' pick. And the offenses they've had since Arians came here aren't exactly Don Coryell wing it down the field.
Yeah, exactly.
We wish him the best of luck.
Bruce Arians thought that Kyle Trask was the next guy. Otherwise, he was the quarterback whisperer. He took him. His fingerprints are all over Kyle Trask. Do you think Kyle Trask ever starts a game in the NFL, Lee?
No.
Ira?
Yes. Yes. He'll get picked up when a couple of guys get hurt this year.
Who are you going to wager on when that game goes off? Trask's team or the other?
Trask's good at handing the ball off. Let him hand the ball off.
All right. It's a lot of fans think he got a raw deal. We'll see. We wish
him
the best.
If he was from McNeese State, are we talking about this guy?
All right, Ira, do you have a closing thought for Bucks fans as we head toward this holiday
weekend? Well, I'm just thinking of how many Bucks I'm going to pick in my fantasy league. Now, last year, Lee, we got around to, like, the eighth round, and I'm looking around, and I'm saying, I'll take Bucky Irving. And I took him. Nobody knew that much about this kid. He wasn't a first-round draft pick.
Did you win the league?
And by the middle, I made the playoffs. And by the middle of the year, he was my starting running back, one of my starting running backs. So I'm looking for a sleeper like that. I'm wondering when Egbuka's going to go in this draft, Lee. If it comes around to the third or fourth round and he's there, I might jump on him.
Yeah.
Payne Durham, I'm sorry, Lee. I can't go there.
Ira, real quick, Chris Godwin, the over-under.
There's an over-under on Godwin?
On the Hard Rock Bet app for yardage. I got to double-check.
Oh, make yardage.
Sure it's still active, but... This week, the over-under for Chris Godwin on total yards was, get this, 725.5. We don't even know if the guy's going to play or how much.
I hate to say this, Lee, but I'm leaning towards the under. I'm leaning towards the under. I don't know how many games this guy's going to miss.
Well, are you encouraged by that because the odds makers usually know something? Or do you look at that and say, damn, if Godwin hits the over on this, the Bucks might go to the Super Bowl with all the power that they've got on this offense?
I'm not. I know they like to have inside information, Lee, but as we have been saying in our podcast, Lee, I'm not sure the Bucks even know when the hell Godwin's coming back. Didn't Bowles give a two to five, week 2-5?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big spread.
Yeah, we talked about that. All right. And Lee and Ira, 9.5. Is still the Bucks over under.
Well, we're gonna
get
into that. We're gonna get into that next week.
We'll get into the number next week, but they're favored in 12 games right now. But yet the over under is 9.5. Does that seem strange to you?
I thought the number was strange the minute it came out, Lee. They won 10 last year. The schedule is favorable, especially the end of the season schedule. They've made some big additions with Redick and Ngbuka. Yeah, they got injuries, but they're not season-ending injuries. They're a young team. They're an ascending team. 9.5 seems a little low.
All right, Ira, we're out of here on this podcast. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. Very exciting. Next week, we'll kick it off with our predictions. And then next thing you know, we'll be pregaming it. So exciting times. Enjoy the weekend, Bucks fans. We're out.